Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
And I'm Jace.
And today we are very excited to be welcoming one of our friends who has never been on the podcast before, Mr. Terry. Hi, friend.
Hey, what up, what up, what up, what up?
We are so excited to connect with you. I can't believe that you have not been on the podcast yet, but perfect opportunity right now, especially what we're going to dive into today. In the month of April, if you're listening or watching, our support focus has shifted to overcoming setbacks and obstacles, right? Those April showers, realizing or recognizing that there's nothing we can do to stop the rain from falling in our lives, even if we wish that it would never happen again. It's just not reality. So we have to learn how we move through these setbacks and obstacles so that we can continue to work towards our bariatric goals, right? So not avoiding them, just moving through. And we know, Terry, you have a lot to share on this subject because, like many of us, you have experienced setbacks and obstacles along along your journey. So we're very excited to really have this conversation with you today. But because you're brand new to the podcast, we would love to turn the floor over to you. Will you just take a moment and introduce yourself to all of our listeners?
Have you ever wished you had a dedicated bariatric buddy to help guide you along your weight loss journey? Well, guess what? You can find that person. Patient Partner connects pre-op bariatric patients to vetted post-op bariatric patients who help and encourage each other along the way. Patient Partner helps you feel more empowered, prepared, and supported through your surgery by connecting you to a community of recovered patients so you can move forward with confidence. Click the link in our Instagram bio to learn how you can take advantage of this free service and follow Patient Partner at patient_partner.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction, April. Thanks everybody for tuning in and listening in. I am Terry Harden II. I go by Just a Dope Dad on Instagram. If you're not following me on my page, I share a little bit of everything from family to my weight loss journey to fatherhood and just me and my family having some fun. So I try to just do everything I can to inspire people to be better in whatever it is that they're doing in life through my page.
I can say personally, if I'm needing a little pick-me-up, your page is one of the first that I go to.
I appreciate it.
Right, like it's I can't do it. You can only do it, but it's the shimmy.
Shimmy.
Yeah.
that is my dance. So a lot of people they're like, I know you're gonna do the shimmy, so I plan on doing that every chance I get. So.
Oh man. Well, it puts me in a good mood and it reminds me that even when these setbacks and obstacles come, I can take a moment. I can just find that place where I can reflect or take a moment or just be happy. You know, and you share everything on your page, the ups, the downs, the struggles. Yeah. It really is a chronicle of what life is like for bariatric patients. It's just a really safe place to go to connect with somebody real who's sharing it as it is.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, April. Yeah, that's what I try to do. And we live in a world where there's so much negative stuff out there. So we can add a little bit of positive light throughout the day. And I tell people all the time, I'm not perfect. I don't live a perfect life. But I want when people to come to my page, they smile. They have a reason to smile and hopefully add some type of light to their day.
Absolutely. Mission accomplished. I think we can tell you that.
I appreciate it.
And the best thing about it is it's not just for you or to highlight your journey. You also highlight others in the community, and you do your best to help inspire others to get where they may want to be when they feel like there's, you know, no hope left, or they may feel like they're at the end of their journey. They can look at you and realize that there's still more to go. There's still people behind them, and that there's somebody out there that's going to care and push them on like you do.
Thank you, Jason. I try to tell people all the time, one of my taglines is I'm rooting for you. And that's because I want people to know you're not in it alone, right? I think for myself, prior to even doing my surgery, I found that support through social media and finding pages of people that were going through this journey. And for me to see it, it inspired me to want to continue and push on with my journey. And it gave me hope to be like, wow, I could be like that. So if I can share that and help people, I tell you, I get DMs on the daily where someone's asking me, what did you do? How did you do it? And no matter how busy I am, I find time to go back and just share, because I know how important it is to give support, because everybody doesn't have that. I was fortunate enough to have it at home with my wife and my family here, but I know everybody does not have that. So I try to do that whenever I can as well.
Yeah. Well, and especially even more important, the male perspective through bariatric surgery is the biggest missing component, I think, to the social media world at the moment. And the fact that you not only share your own stories, but you also amplify and share the stories of other men with your other page, right? With My Bro Ain't Heavy.
Yeah. When you mentioned that, April, Ked, who goes by Sleep Believe the Hype, and myself, we found community within each other, became really, really good friends in the community. And as you said, we found that there was not a lot of men, and not that men aren't having these procedures or doing them, men tend to not post about it. They're not big on taking pictures and sharing that stuff. And that's okay. But we wanted to show that there are men in this community. So what we did, we started a page called My Bro Ain't Heavy. And the sole purpose of that page was A, to be a support system for other men, but also it was to allow other men to find men that look like them. What I mean by that is, when you are searching for these pages of bariatric, you kind of want to get a visual of what I'm going to look like. How am I going to look after I drop 150, 200 pounds, right? So whether you're Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whether you're tall, whether you're short, no matter what you look like, we want to showcase that on our page. So as somebody comes, they can A, see those people, but also we tag those gentlemen, so that way they can find their pages, follow those pages, but then also connect with them, whether they have questions of, you know, I mean, for myself, I'm a sneaker guy. So I've had people reach out to me saying, like, man, one of my worries is I lose so much weight that my sneakers won't fit, right? So those are questions that you don't think about. I have locks. So there's people that are like, man, I want to have the surgery, but I don't want my locks to fall out. So many components that a lot of people don't think about. Those are the questions that we get through, you know, My Bro Ain't Heavy, or even our own personal pages, where people find us, our pages, and want to ask those questions that maybe they can't ask their doctors because, you know, they don't know. So it's been fun to be supportive and help men in that aspect. And my goal is, like Jason, I mean, Jason's another great friend that I've met through this community. And I'm proud of all of his accomplishments, everything that he's doing, but just another man that's showcasing that men can do it, and men are out here. And it is so great to see him being active on social media and sharing his stuff, because he's inspiring other men. Again, there's not a lot of us, right? It's like a unicorn. It's there's only so many of us out here, which is why I think it's important for us as men to support each other. And that's why we started the whole My Bro Ain't Heavy page, where we show side-by-sides, transformation pictures, but also motivation quotes in between those transformations to just inspire men to keep on going and keep pushing forward.
Yeah, because I know when I was looking for somebody who looked like you said, somebody who looked like me before I had the surgery, it took me over a month to find somebody on Instagram that looked like I did. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm not a small guy. I'm 6'4" and weigh 468 pounds. So I didn't know what that was going to be like for me. And I found a ton of ladies that had it, which I was super excited for the ladies that have had it, because bravo to them for doing things and changing their lives. That was fantastic. However, I don't know that I'm going to look like 5'6" Nancy from accounting who lives in, you know, Buffalo, New York. I don't know that that's going to be me when I'm done. So yeah. It took a while for me to find some guy, you know, to find somebody. And when I did find him, you know, he's about an inch taller than I am, and he had about 100 pounds on my heaviest weight. So when I saw what he could do, I was like, okay, now I know. Now this can work for somebody that looks like me and that, like, I can go. And it really took that before I actually locked in and made the decision to do it. So your page now, I guarantee you, helps people to be able to do that a lot faster than it was when I tried.
Man, what you said was so important, man. And I think that's what we try to showcase. If you go and scroll through our page and just even scroll down, you will be able to find somebody who looks like somebody, in the sense that somebody can have somebody to relate to. And that is important. I mean, I'll tell you, I've had so many men be like, thanks for answering my questions. This was the confirmation I needed. So even hearing you just say that, right? It's like, we're not taking credit for it by any means, but I'm so grateful that we're able to answer those questions and inspire, you know, other men. To your point, I love the women. The women are out there, right? And it's congratulations. I love the fact that you guys are doing it. It's just not a lot of men, but we're out here. So we're just trying to compile it and bring it to a space where they can come and find it a little bit easier versus trying to search for a hashtag and the guy posts a picture once every couple years. So if you're looking at recent, you may not find it, right? Whereas if you come to our page, My Bro Ain't Heavy, you scroll down, you're going to find a little bit of everybody.
And I think another reason that it is so powerful for those side-by-sides is that our brains will try to talk us out of making this big, huge decision, right? And it's saying, well, you don't have the evidence. Like, nobody else has done this. And when you see side-by-sides of people who look like you or who did look like you, your brain has, that's the evidence that it can't fight back against. It says, absolutely. Well, actually, this can be done. There's the evidence. Yeah, we need that to make that decision.
Yes, ma'am. It is definitely important. It turns that impossible to possible after you see it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Right. Well, we'll make sure we will link all of these socials. We've talked about My Bro Ain't Heavy, your page, Ked's page, all that stuff. We'll get all this linked in our show notes. You guys absolutely follow all of their social media pages because it is a true inspiration and it is that evidence. It's that little piece that you need throughout the journey. You can find it on these pages. It's just very powerful.
Thank you, April. Yeah, we're excited to share. And if anyone that's listening has any questions as she tags the information, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We are human. We're really happy to help. And I tell you, we get excited to help other men, you know, along their journey. Women as well, right? But I tell you, we take pride in trying to help the men that may not have that support that need it. So we're grateful to answer any questions that you guys may have as well.
And Jason and Natalie, we're always blown away by this because, you know, we're the DM. I think people think that when they direct message these larger accounts that it's like robots behind it. And so when we respond and we always sign off with our name, their response is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's you.
Yep.
Who else would it be? So.
Right. Turning this over to somebody else.
But people are very appreciative. I tell you, I think that's what I'm here for. They're like, man, thank you for responding. Thank you for this. Thank you for it. So, I mean, it's like, they very much appreciate it, but it fills up our cup as well. So it's a win-win on both sides because it allows us to truly live in our purpose and help out. So I'm grateful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell people all the time, like, we couldn't do anything we're doing here without the support of you guys. You got everybody that supports us. That just helps. So like you said, it fills our cup up so we can keep going.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, my friends. Well, we have a lot to get to today, specifically how we have overcome setbacks and obstacles along our journey. So if you guys are ready to dive in, I say, let's do it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So first things first, Terry, will you tell us a little bit about you and your weight story and how you used to move through obstacles and setbacks in your life before surgery?
So I started my journey in 2019. My story was not traditional. I'll tell you, I had a buddy of mine, we were out to eat and he looked over at me and he said, I don't want you to die. Those words right there hit me like a ton of bricks because I had never related the weight that I was at 430 plus pounds to dying. I knew I was big, but I didn't think because I was big, I could die. Like I thought, you know, you get shot, you die. You get in a car accident, you die. I didn't relate my weight to dying. So when he said that, it was like a reality check for me, like, wow. But it was a friend that I knew cared. And he followed that up with, but I want to help you. And he said, I work out every morning. Rather than us going to lunch, we were eating at the time, and he probably saw how I was tearing up whatever I was eating, and it probably hit him. But he said, rather than going to lunch, let's use our lunch breaks to work out together. So we started that summer working out together. He committed to helping me, and I committed to myself because I wanted to get better to start working out. Even then, I wasn't weighing myself. I didn't want to know because I knew I was beyond big, but I told myself I'll schedule a doctor's appointment. I hadn't been to the doctor in years. And I scheduled a doctor's appointment. I got on that scale and the scale said 430 pounds. And mind you, that was after I had been working out for almost a whole summer. So who's telling what I really was prior to that? But I got on that scale and his words hit me, you know, I don't want you to die. And I said, I have a wife, I have three kids. I don't want to die. And the way God works is I told myself, I said, I prayed. I said, I need to make a change. It was the following day or something. I had met went to my kid's daycare and the husband had lost a lot of weight. And I had asked him, I'm like, what did you do? And he was very open. And he said, man, I had weight loss surgery. I was ignorant to weight loss surgery, wasn't familiar. I really thought weight loss surgery was they pull the weight out of you. It's the easy way out. The ignorance in me did not know. But I said, after he shared it with me and he was open, he was like, do your research. I started doing my research and I scheduled an appointment to go to one of the consultations. Changed my life. I got there. One of the surgeons that was presenting happened to be a guy I went to high school with that is now a surgeon that does it. So I walked in and I'm telling you, God, the way he does things, is you can't explain it, but he was the surgeon giving the presentation and I knew him and I'm like, how crazy, right? And I started talking. I said, this is what I need to do to save my life. I've ate and really did the whole yo-yo weight loss my entire life where I would drop 50. I knew how to do it, but then I would get comfortable, gain it back. Drop 30, get comfortable, get in a nice, decent size where I felt, and then I would gain it back. So the obstacles you're talking about is I knew how to lose some of the weight. At least I thought I did, but I would gain it right back. The biggest blessing we're going through with the weight loss surgery was not the weight loss surgery for me. It was the process leading up until learning nutrition, meeting with psychiatrists, talking about, you know, what to eat, what not to eat, that truly changed my life. Because once I started realizing like some of the things I put in my body, they weren't the best foods. When I started realizing I was a late night snacker, even though I'm like, I don't eat that much in my mind, I was a late night snacker. That is where a lot of my weight came from, was me thinking after I had dinner, I deserved a dessert, like it was a treat. Or thinking because I was watching a movie, I had to have some candy and a popcorn and a snack or something to go with it. And I didn't realize that till I started having the conversations about what my triggers were and everything. But I needed to hear that in order to really change my life. So once I started realizing what some of that was, I end up dropping from the time that I went to my orientation to the time I had surgery, 80 pounds. Just by changing my lifestyle. I mean, the doctor was impressed. Every time I would come back, I'm like another 20 pounds, another, but it was falling off because I was changing my habits and the things that I were doing without even knowing that I should have been doing some of these things and drinking my water, sticking with the plan that they gave me with the Greek yogurt and the Premier proteins. And I mean, literally working out. I was working out 5 to 6 times a week at the time, because it was in my mind, I was gonna die if I didn't. So it was a lot more to me than just losing weight to look good or to feel a certain way. It was, I have a wife and 3 children that depend on me, that need me to be around, and I didn't wanna die. So that was my story up until I tell you, I ended up getting my surgery date, which was Friday the 13th. I have it tattooed on my arm now. I tell you, the first time they told me, I'm like, God, Friday the 13th, is this like a sign I shouldn't do it? But it was a day that I now celebrate. It was the 13th of March, right before the world shut down of 2020. And I was one of the last surgeons. I had a buddy of mine that was getting ready to get it done. They canceled his surgery. He was like the week after mine. He didn't even get his. But I was in the hospital that Friday the 13th. They kept me through the weekend. And then that following week, all of the schools shut down. My job shut down. The world really shut down. But I thank God that I was able to go through that process prior to, but then also able to have my surgery, because it made it so much easier to last through the pandemic and change my life for the better. And I'm happy to say now I'm over 200 pounds down and just happy, living life and enjoying it. And I know based off of what I'm doing now, I'm not going to die. So that feels good. So
that is incredible.
Yeah. I didn't know you were that close. I knew you were that close to mine because we had talked about it the other day, because I was March 11th, 2020. And yeah, I was legit. I was one of the last surgeries that went through. I had been back at work post-op 2 weeks and then I got to go home. So none of my work people saw me lose all the weight. They saw me at my heaviest. And they saw me right, like I lost 45 pounds on the pre-op liquid diet. So they saw that part. But then when post-op, they didn't see Jack until this Christmas when I went back, we had a Christmas lunch. And I walked in and everybody was like,
yep, that's what happens.
Where's the rest of you? And I was like, nah, I should have had to go. I left that back. I'm like, nah, I left that back at the office. Like, we don't do that anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're VSG twins, man. So we are definitely right there. That is the same. That's enough to call us twins, bro. We're right there at the same time. So
close enough for me.
Yeah, well, definitely. Jason, we were able to get ours in before the world shut down too. Cause I mean, a lot of them got pushed back 6 weeks, 8 weeks, couple months. I mean, We were fortunate enough to be that last group of people that got it in before the world shut down.
Yep. Well, and Terry, you said something really interesting, and we get this question often. People will start the bariatric pre-op process and drop a lot of weight because, like you said, like they've changed everything basically about how they're living because they've gotten a similar message. We all got that message. You're going to die. Like your weight is going to kill you. So you're motivated and then you lose all this weight and people will ask us every day. Well, I mean, I've lost 50 pounds or I've lost 80 pounds. Do I really need surgery? Did that question ever come into your brain? And how did you work yourself through that?
Yes and no. I will tell you, it did cross my mind because I was like, wow, you're doing it. But in my mind, I said, you've done this before in a sense, so where I've dropped 40, 50 pounds and you gained it back. So for me, I needed something that was going to be a long term. And after doing the research, I knew that this was going to be a tool. And we all talk about it within this community, but I was knowledgeable at that time that I knew I needed a tool that was going to help me keep it off long term. Now, fortunately enough as well, my wife's mother had it probably 15 years before I did. And she was someone who I confided in and had conversations with up until, and I've been able to see where she's at in life and the things that she's kept off. And I knew it was for me. So yes, it did cross my mind, but at the same time I said, I didn't want to lose it and gain it back. And in my mind, I knew if I went forward with this and I trusted that everything would work out the way it would stay off. I will tell you, it doesn't stay off for everybody. One of the last conversations I had before I left the office, because I had always been very transparent with what I was doing. And I did that for my own personal reasons. But I worked with someone who told me, in her words, make sure you save your old clothes because you may gain some weight back. And it was because she did. And in my mind, I did not want to do that. So she didn't realize her words motivated me to make sure that I did not, because it does happen. This surgery is not a surgery where you lose weight, they suck the weight out and it's gone forever. This is truly a tool that you have to work for and continue to work for on a day to day. But I was committed, I'm still committed based off the why, being my family and wanting to be around for a long time for them and myself.
Well, we know based on all the conversations we've had with surgeons and registered dietitians and bariatric therapists, you have a 50% chance of regaining your weight, right? Yeah. 2 years after surgery. And you really have to get to year 7 to see a single digit chance of regain. So you are committing to 7 years of very dedicated and intentional work to learn how to live at that new low weight if you do not want to regain.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, 50%.
I like to say that all the things we tried before we found and had the surgery, we just misplaced the weight. We didn't lose it. We misplaced it because we found that shit again every time. It was like, oh, there it is.
I found it. Hey, I have not heard.
No, there it is.
Right. Well, that's always the running joke because I used to say like, oh, I've lost 50 pounds. I have not lost 50 pounds. I have purposely dropped it off at the garbage dump. I am not looking for that. It's not lost.
I don't want to find it ever again. That's like, right. I'm grateful for my journey, but to your point, I don't want it back. I do not want it back.
No. I'm not looking for any of those 191 I got lost. I right where they are.
Absolutely.
Right. So let's all take a moment and let's think about before surgery. Think about a moment in our lives where we hit a roadblock or that speed bump or an obstacle. What did we do before surgery when we encountered those moments in life? Jason, I'll start with you.
I always binged. I always went for the comfort. I went for the security blanket that was food, because those drive-thrus were always open and their arms were always extended with bags of loveliness for me to wallow in to make all my sorrows go away. And, you know, they always had a smile on my face to greet me and take my money and give me the bag of goodies. And, I mean, that's legit how I would go through everything. It was always going out and getting as many burgers as I could drown myself in, or tacos, or whatever it may be at the time. Whatever it was I could get my hands on to make it all feel better.
Yep. Yeah, mine was definitely, it wasn't fast food, but it was just over consuming whatever I could get my hands on, right? Instead of one breakfast sandwich, it was two. Instead of, you know, having one box of macaroni and cheese between Grady and I, we each had a box, right? Like devouring a whole pizza. It was being so full. The only thing I could think about was that discomfort and not the feelings and emotions that I was trying to work through, right? Not the thing that was blocking me. I couldn't do that, but I could feel this.
So mine was sweet. Mine was very similar, but it was the sweets. It was the ice cream and the soothingness of the cold and eating ice cream and not just eating a bowl of it. It was like I had to eat ice cream and consume a lot of it, right? I mean, I was eating almost half a tub of ice cream and being like, why did, then I would do that whole guilt afterwards, right? I would eat it and I'd be like, oh, this is so good. Then I would look afterwards and be like, why did you do that? I shouldn't have done that. So it was taking one guilt and then turning it into another. And while the ice cream was great in the moment, I would immediately feel bad afterwards that I did all of that and then be stuck. And then here goes where I messed up is I would do that. And then because I did that, I'd be like, oh, tomorrow I'm not going to eat, right? Or do something that wasn't healthy as a counter, thinking that if I did that, it'll balance it out. And that wasn't the right thing to do, to be like, you know what, tomorrow I'm only going to eat, drink protein shakes all day, or tomorrow I'm only going to do, and that wasn't right either. So it's learning how to maneuver it and realizing, like, we're human, right? And I tell you, even now being 2 years post-op, we have some of these moments where we're going to fall short and we're going to fall back into some of these ways. But I tell you, we can't stick in those ways. You got to make sure that you acknowledge it, you know what you've done, and don't think there's a quick fix or an easy way out. It's get back on track. How can you find a way to truly get back on track and get back to where you know you can be?
I refer to that as the loading zone. You can park there, but you got to dump shit and get out. You can't hang out there. You cannot. You'll get a ticket if you stay there too long. So you got to sit, you got to process, but then you got to pop the trunk, you got to drop it off, and then you got to go because the lady in the meter cart's coming to tell you got to move it. Like, yeah.
I love that analogy. That makes so much sense, but you are absolutely right. You cannot stay there. And I think that's probably one of the biggest lessons that I've learned that helps me is I may get like that and have these moments because we're human. At the end of the day, like I said, it's a tool and we are not perfect. And if we portray that, sorry, but that's not the case. We have those moments. And what we do is you just learn to not stay there. And I think that helps.
Well, there's two things that we say all the time in Berry Nation, right? Food is not contraband and food is not punishment. We used to punish ourselves with food and then we would punish ourselves to deny food, right? So we were using that as a tool of punishment for our bad behavior. But what we've really come to realize now after bariatric surgery, and we see it often in the community, again, people will say, I'm such a bad person. I'm such a bad bariatric patient. And we've just put the kibosh on that. We just said, there is no such thing as a bad bariatric patient. We are either living in bariatric compliance or we're living out of bariatric compliance. There is no judgment in that, right? But that's a decision that, you know, that you have made. And really, we are human beings having a human experience.
Yes, ma'am.
As we are living our lives as a bariatric patient. That's very different than I'm a bad bariatric patient. Because if we say that to ourselves, it's going to kick us back into the old shame cycles that do feel comfortable. And we're going to be drawn to that mindset, drawn to that thinking, drawn to that feeling, because it's what we used to do and it's comfortable. It might be killing us, but we know what it feels like. We understand the roadmap. We get that world. And we want to go back there because we're so desperate to feel like things are just normal again. But I think what all three of us have experienced is that we have gone back there many times after surgery. And while it's comforting at first, something has changed in our brains and in our souls. And we go, oh, but wait a minute, this isn't the comfort that I remember. Something is off here. This is not how I remember it. And it's that very moment in our bariatric journey. It's like what you were talking about, Jason. That's when we see the parking lady come in and we're like, oh, I got to move because this is not where I want to be anymore. That's the work of weight loss surgery. And it's so hard to recognize that something has changed. And there's a lot of like feeling of loss and grief because you're going to mourn that. You're going to mourn your ability to feel comfortable because you think, oh my God, I'm never going to feel that way again. What have I done?
Yeah.
But that was killing you. And you know that now. And the work of weight loss surgery is to go, oh, okay. I need something else. What do I need?
Well, like what you're talking about with being outside of bariatric compliance, what people think about on that is, like, if you think about a fire exit door, there's the push bar you get out with, but then when you try to go back in, there's no handle. You can't pull the door. That's not what happens when you get outside of bariatric compliance. That door props itself open, so you can come back. Like, you can spend time outside, you can run around, you can collect with your friends, you can do whatever you got to do, but you got to come back. Like, you got to come back in the door. You can't just sit there and go, well, there's no handle there, so fuck, I don't know. I guess I can't come back in. Like, it's not like that. No, the door's open. You just got to bring yourself back. Like, you got to have a ride back. You can't stay out there in the weeds forever.
No. So Terry, what has changed for you after surgery, right? Like you've already said, like, no, I still sometimes go back to that old coping mechanism or that old thing that I used to do for comfort. What do you find yourself doing now? What are the tools and strategies that you're using when these obstacles keep coming your way?
Absolutely. So again, I'll go back to we're human. So we have these moments where we just get caught up in life. We get caught up and we forget about the fact that our bodies are not the same and we shouldn't be doing some of the same things. I'm actually going through a process where I'm getting ready to transition my entire family from Ohio to Texas. So our world looks different right now. And what I mean by that is the way we're packing up and we're doing stuff, housing. I don't want to cook. My wife doesn't want to cook. So it's, what can we have that's quick? And it may be something that we probably shouldn't have, right? We're like, oh, let's go grab some Chick-fil-A or let's go do some of this or some of that. Versus where we've really been trying to be more conscious of what we're cooking and we're allowing the situation of what we're going through to maybe add some stress or to allow it to be an excuse for us to go do some things. But the moment I do, I have that remorse or that thing where I'm like, the lady's coming because I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm getting into the habit of being like, oh, it's okay because it's just tonight. And it's okay because it's, and I have to remind myself, because it's something that I care about is where I've came from and where I'm at now, that I don't want to stay in those moments. So when I do something like that, I have to constantly be like, you know what, while it was good for that moment or that second, or because we couldn't go out and we couldn't cook, so we had to run out, I have to remind myself how far I've came and be like, you know what, to your point, Jason, that door is propped back open. So rather than beating myself up and being like, man, you failed, you're a failure, how do I get back on track? And I tell you, it's this, right? We all, if you guys can see us, we all have water. And that is so important, right? Make sure we're drinking our water. Make sure we're getting our protein in and doing some of the things that we know we should be doing. So when I have those moments, it hits me and I think about it, but then I'm like, how can I fix it, right? Let me drink my water, right? Let me get back to drinking my water to make up and help flush some of the stuff out that I probably shouldn't have had. But again, we're human, so we're gonna have these moments. It's just how we bounce back. And I'm grateful, Jason. Again, I'll keep using your analogy because I didn't realize you were the king of analogies, and I love them, absolutely love them. But knowing that the door is propped back open for all of us as patients should be something we're proud of, because we have an opportunity to go in and go back through that door and be like, okay, I might have snuck out or I might have went out, but I can come right back in and get back on track. So I try to get back on track whenever I have those moments and think about, you know, I don't want to go back to the old me. I don't want to go back to 430 plus pound Terry. So when I have those moments, I think about it and come right back through that door running.
Well, and staying connected to the community is one of the most important things, because not only for the accountability portion of it, but just so you know, that's why it's so important for people to be so truthful in the stuff that they share and share the good and the bad. Because if you, like, you know, we've said, if you only show the polished stuff, then everybody's it's going to create the narrative that if you do slip up, you are a bad person or a bad patient or a bad whatever, because, well, I don't see anybody else messing up. So shit, I must be the only one. Like, I don't understand how this is going to go. Well, now I don't have any, like we said, when we initially started this, we were looking for somebody that looked like us that we could connect with to know this was going to work. Those same people have to show up and say, oh no, I messed up last week. Hell, I had pizza earlier before we jumped on here. I had two pieces of pizza before we jumped and did this podcast right here as we're talking about it. Guess what? I'm not a horrible person. April's not going to kick me off the podcast because I had pizza today. So I mean, at the end of the day, you had to think about it. You can be outside of that compliance because this was dinner. I had an amazing lunch. I had a perfect breakfast. So as long as I stayed in compliance for the day, those two pieces of pizza aren't going to derail my whole journey completely. And I'm not going to wake up tomorrow back at 468 pounds. It's about.
Oops, sorry.
Go ahead, boss.
You said something that was so important that really just it hit me as you were talking, finding support in the community and staying connected. Because April, you asked, what are some things that I do? And I didn't even think about it till Jason, you just said that. Scroll, right? I could be scrolling, and if I see a post from one of you all within the community, and again, it doesn't have to be nothing to where you're showcasing anything bad or anything like that. You guys inspire me. We inspire each other. So seeing that sometimes, right, it's hard to be consuming a jug of ice cream if I'm scrolling through and I got Jason as my buddy on here at the gym, right? Because it's like, man, like, we're in this together. We are a community together. So I think what you just said, Jason, is so important, is staying connected with those people around you, making sure you build a community. And that's whether it's through social media and real life that holds you accountable. And sometimes it may be as simple as just scrolling. And if you're following other bariatric accounts, it's not that you're trying to compare or you're trying to do anything like that, but it's using them and those accounts to hold you accountable to be like, oh man, I didn't go work out. Maybe in a week, maybe in a couple of weeks, right? I mean, Jason, you transparency, you just posted yourself at the gym and saying you haven't worked out. Well, I've been in the process of moving. I haven't had an opportunity to work out. So seeing you post, I can tell you that inspired me to say, you can work out just because you haven't been to the gym. I have stuff at home that I can do. And I did that the other day, Jason, because of you. So seeing you post and sharing that was a reminder that, man, I need to do something, right? It doesn't have to be I'm going to the gym and in front of mirrors and all of that. There's things that we can do at home, going up and down the steps. I got an elliptical here. I have a recumbent bike. I have a treadmill. There's things that I can do, but I've let the chaos of us moving kind of take me away from that. But when I saw you talk about I haven't been to the gym and I got back in there, I'm only 10 pounds, you know, lower than where I was, I'm like, oh, Jason's in there. And to see another man in this community doing it, it was inspiring. So staying connected is so important. And just publicly, thank you for your transparency, Jason, because that helped me to say, okay, you've been a little busy, but you should never be too busy to stay active and do some things. So it is important.
Absolutely.
It's huge, right? And really what we're demonstrating is that when we are transparent with all facets of our journey, we're letting people know you're not alone. It's normal to be down. It's normal to hit that setback. It's normal to be really feeling like you're slogging it. And when you see other people do it, it makes your own difficult moments understandable, relatable, and it gives you hope that I can get through it. And just like what you said, Terry, that one little, a moment of reflection for yourself, and it kicks your brain into that problem solving mode instead of that, oh, this is always going to be a problem.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, and a lot of people too, it's not a competing thing, right? I'm so grateful to have a community of men and women that inspire me, right? And we should continue to motivate each other and push each other to get better, to be better, but also to remember and kind of have those moments to be like, you know what? I need to do X, Y, and Z, or I should be doing this. So that is why community is so important, right? Find accounts on social media that inspire you. They don't have to be the largest accounts with the biggest following or anything like that. I get the most inspiration from some of the smallest accounts, because those are the people that are transparent, they're being genuine, being themselves. So as you're looking, search the hashtag VSG, WLS, VSG men, VSG, you know, fat, all of those different things. And you'll see that there are so many people out there like you going through this journey that you can depend on, that you can use as motivation and inspiration, and that you may have not found without going through the hashtag because you didn't know or their name doesn't say VSG, but they're out there. And use them as motivation to inspire you.
Yep. I mean, it is one of the many reasons that we created the Berry Nation membership community, is because we realized that there's a lot of very public information on Instagram and Facebook and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But so many people are not public with their journey, and they desperately need this safe, secure place to do the intentional work of weight loss surgery, right? Where it's just people who are bariatric patients, they've committed to it, they're serious about it. And to have a community where you can connect and make these more intimate relationships with people, have a safe place to post, to know that there's not the outside world looking in. It's just, you know, it's just the members there. And then with the power of the experts to also bounce these ideas and thoughts off of, it was just needed. And there's so many different layers of support. And we're just so thankful that there are so many different types of support that are out there now for people, because one day Instagram, that might be enough. That's exactly what you need. And then the other days you might need a very tight-knit, intimate community where you can go and have a very private conversation or connect with an expert. You need all of those supports to really make it, because when we see people struggling, they ghost the community, right? All of a sudden, you, all three of us, we could be following somebody, interacting with them, and all of a sudden, boom, they are gone, radio silent. And you're like, oh, I know what's going on. You're struggling. You are hardcore struggling, and you will continue to struggle until you re-engage with the community. You think that the community is going to judge you because you've hit a setback or a roadblock. No, no, no. That's when you need the community the most. You've got to engage. You've got to connect. You have to know that there is nothing wrong with you, that the setback is normal, and that there is a pathway forward. I mean, Terry, I was literally writing down everything that you said in when you were going through it. You have the tools that you've used is acknowledging that all or nothing thinking and moved away from it, right? You have connected back with your why. You have gotten back to basics, as simple as, you know what? I got to focus on my water. That's a tool.
Yes, ma'am.
Connecting, right? Connecting with the community and being truthful, being transparent. All amazing tools that you have used to overcome these moments of setback.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. And I think we all have been there. We're all human. So to those that are listening, just know you're not alone in this journey. And I think that's why we're out here. We're doing these podcasts. I mean, I commend, you know, April and Jason, Berry Nation, for all the things that you all are doing within this community. I tell you, it is something that's important. It's something that's needed. But it's also just a way to remind people that you're not in it alone, because everybody needs support, and we encourage community and support in every way possible. So it is out here. To April's point, it's on Instagram, it's the Berry Nation, it's on Facebook. There are so many different ways that you can reach out and try to find a community, build a community. But it is important to your point, April, people run away. And when they realize why run, come back. The community's here to help you and support you. And you're right. We see some of these bigger accounts and they're like, sorry, I disappeared. But it's like, you know, look, we're here for you. You know, tell us, we'll help you. And everybody's different. I understand that, you know, we all deal with things differently. But to the people that are listening, know that within this community, one of the best communities I'm a part of, right? I'm a part of a lot of different communities. This weight loss community, the support that I've received from my surgery has just been unreal. I mean, me and my life has changed completely, but it didn't change by myself. It changed because of the support within this community, the people that have found me and reached out to me, the people like yourself, Jason and April, that have connected with me through social media. You've built great friendships in this community that are genuine. And it's almost because we know how you feel, and we've been in this struggle together. And I love it. One of the best communities to be a part of. So I'm grateful to be a part of the weight loss community.
Well, yeah, and it's just like what you were saying. Like, I had posted a thing about getting back to the gym, and the first thing, and the next day I go to the doctor, and she's like, yeah, no more gym until you get your blood pressure under control. So I went, and my blood pressure was 188 over 117, and she freaked out. She was like, can't go to the gym until that bottom number's under 100. And I'm like, damn it. I just got back. And so I was like, I was running, I was doing this. She was like, don't do any of that. I was like, oh, man. But I was, you know, to like what you said, to your credit, I went right to my stories, and I was like, I need to put that out there because people are going to think that I went back to the gym one day and just stopped going. I was like, if I'm not back posting pictures, you know, a lot showing my progress. I was like, so I need to be honest, come clean and talk about it, because I know I'm not the only person out there that may have seen struggles like this, and I'm not the only person who can't go to the gym because of a medical reason.
And you got to think about it too, Jason. I didn't even see that second part of your story, but it hits everybody different, right? I mean, and I can get into God and his purpose, but for you to even share that, maybe you went back that one day to help inspire some people to get back in, and you've now done your part. And that is a blessing to know that you were able, like I said, I didn't see the second part of the story, but somehow between you sharing it and me being like, hey, reminder, Terry, you got to start working out or doing something, it helped me. So maybe that was part of God's plan, was to get you in the gym to talk about it, for me to watch your story and many other people to be like, okay, that's the reminder I need. So again, transparency is key, but also your purpose is so much bigger than just yourself. And you'll realize by you sharing everything, you're helping different people in different parts of their journey.
Well, because it was amazing that I got, you know, when I shared it, I got a ton of reactions from being back at the gym. That was amazing. I loved all of it. But then when I got the second part and put that up there, it was some of the same people that were giving me the hoorays for being back at the gym, but it was a whole list of other people that were like, hey, I understand. I've been there. I went through this. I've been doing this. This is what I've been doing. I've been going through this. This is why I can't go. So thank you for sharing and doing that. And, you know, so many people were like, this whole community is behind you 100%. So hope you get better. Hope you did. So they were so uplifting in the messages of congratulating me being back, but also encouraging me to make it through this setback that I'm dealing with now with my blood pressure, that it was just, I mean, I haven't been wrapped that tight in a blanket. I mean, it was just so much love, compassion, and just everybody around me was just helping to lift me up in the moment that I was just like, well, shit, like I worked so hard to get back in. I was so excited to build, like, you know, my body felt amazing. I was like, dude, this is so great. Like, I haven't run on purpose since I was a kid. There wasn't nobody chasing me. I wasn't chasing the ice cream truck. I wasn't late for work. Like, I just ran because I felt like it. So it was amazing to me to be able to do that for 2 straight minutes solid. Like, I didn't break it at all until the end of 2 minutes. So I was like super excited about that. So it was such a blow when she was just like, yeah, no. I was just like, but I thought you'd be excited that I ran. She was like, I'll be more excited when you stay alive. And I was like, fair enough, but still, like, I need a pat on the back for running. Like, damn it. Like, somebody be excited.
But so, guess what? You said something else. You got to listen to the doctor, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you have to listen. And if we want to get better, if we want to be our best and most healthy selves, listen to the people that are professionals, because to her point, they know you. They know what you need to do to stay healthy and stay alive. And rather than, you could have went the other route and being like, nope, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to stay in the gym. I got these followers to impress and all of that. You didn't. So I clap for you, man, for doing the right thing by being transparent, but also listening. Because that could be hard. Like you just mentioned, it was tough for you. You wanted to get back in there. But at the end of the day, listen to the healthcare professionals that are trained, that know what they're doing, because they are going to give you the best guidance on how to be successful.
Oh, yeah. She paid a lot more money. She paid a lot of money to be smarter than me. And she got a white coat and I don't. So I'm going to listen to her. I didn't buck that system whatsoever. And she's been with me since when I was my heaviest. And she was kind of the one that pushed me in the direction of getting the surgery, because she flat out told me I was actively dying in front of her. And I was just like, good to know. That's that sucks. So, all right. I can't find 6 people that can carry me where I need to be. So I better lose some weight. So I can't be throwing pallbearers' backs out at 468 pounds. So let me knock a little bit of this off.
But you know, your story and Ked's story, his brave story about the health things that he's going through, it's such a powerful thing that needs to be, I think, addressed more in our community. Bariatric surgery is not the magic solution for all of our health ailments. Just because we have bariatric surgery and we lose a significant amount of weight doesn't mean that we're still going to have health issues that we need to address and continue to address. And it doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. You're not a bad bariatric patient. You are a human having a human experience. And while you losing a significant amount of weight is doing amazing things for your health, there's still going to be some other things that are going to crop up or will continue to persist in your life. those two things can exist together. And you and Ked are showing the world how to do it. I'm acknowledging it. I'm recognizing it. I'm seeking the help of my medical professionals, and I'm doing what they are telling me to do in conjunction with my bariatric surgery. That's how you get that lifelong health that we're all seeking. And it's hard to do. Well,
and just because I can't jump back in the gym right now doesn't mean I got to fall off in the kitchen. So you got to, you got to keep it in perspective. You got to make it some changes and just a little bit of a slight readjustment to the plan, just because you won't be able to go run it off in the gym or do any of that funny business. Like we've always said, you know, fitness happens in the gym, weight loss happens in the kitchen. So.
Right. That's like my favorite saying in the world, I think. Terry, we always love to give our guests the floor at the end of our episode. Is there anything that you really want to make sure our listeners, our friends, or our watchers know about overcoming obstacles after bariatric surgery?
Yep. You're not in it alone. I tell you that. Don't beat yourself up. Allow yourself grace. Weight loss surgery is not the end all be all and everything is going to make you perfect. We are human. At the end of the day, we are going to fall short at times. But as Jason said, and I'll keep going back to, the door is always going to be cracked open for us as bariatric patients to come back in to make the changes necessary to get back on track. Don't run away from the community. There's so many people in this community that are willing to help, that want to help. Because we've been on that side, because we are going through the same things that you guys are going through on a day-to-day. We are not perfect. We do not strive to be perfect. We just want to be here, be healthy, but also help people and inspire people along the way. So I tell you, both Jason and April, you guys are doing something amazing within this community. I commend you both for what you're doing, for creating a platform through Berry Nation, but also through this podcast, just to inspire so many people, to be a support system for so many people. Don't stop what you're doing. Continue to reach out to people. Continue to have other people, you know, join you all. The world needs this, and I think it's important. So I love what you all are doing. I'm grateful that I was able to come and join you all for your 99th episode, and I look forward to checking out many more.
Oh, Terry, we so appreciate you and your time, your insight, your wisdom, and everything that you pour into our bariatric community. It would not be the same without you, truly.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm grateful to be in this community with the both of you all. And as I say with everyone, let's keep inspiring the world together.
I can give an amen to that.
I love it.
Terry, one more time, where can people follow you or connect with you?
Yes, ma'am. To follow my journey, I tell you, it's not just weight loss related. So if you come in looking for just that, you won't find that on my page. But I share a little bit of everything on my personal page at Just the Dope Dad. Everything from weight loss to family to fatherhood and just me enjoying my life post-surgery as I feel like it allowed me a fresh new start at things. I share my non-skill victories and everything in between. I also co-founded a page with Ked, Sleep Believe the Hype, and our page is called My Bro Ain't Heavy, and our page there is for the men. While we have a lot of support from the women, our goal is to inspire men, to showcase other men, and just to be a support system for men that have had weight loss surgery, but also just men on a weight loss journey, not necessarily just weight loss surgery. So our goal is to encourage and to inspire men to share their journeys, but also to help other people along the way. So hopefully we're adding value within this community by sharing those men that allow us to share the transformation pictures, but also the motivation quotes that we provide on a day-to-day, as truly we want all of us to win. We want all of us to be alive and united and alone. So at the end of the day, my bro's never too heavy for me to help lift up and inspire. So we'll continue to do that.
It is an amazing resource in the community. We have a feature that we do in Berry Nation called Shout Out Sunday. And that's just where anyone can submit a transformation picture. They share a little bit about themselves and then we broadcast it out on our platform. If there's a gentleman that would like to be featured on My Bro Ain't Heavy, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So we do search the hashtags. That's how we get a lot of our pictures, is from VSG or VSG men. I will tell you, the men don't post, just to be completely transparent with you. Trying to find men through hashtag VSG is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. So what we highly encourage men is, if you're posting your pictures or side-by-side transformations, Hashtag VSG men, hashtag my bro ain't heavy, or you're more than welcome to DM us your photos individually or through our page. Once we have your pictures, we'll go ahead and post them to the page. And we post everybody, no matter where you're at in your journey. Even if you're early on and you feel like you haven't lost a lot of weight, post your pictures, show your transformation. People need to see that side as well. So please send them to myself at Just a Dope Dad. Send them to Kid, Sleep Believe the Hype, or you can submit them to My Bro Ain't Heavy. Again, hashtags are huge, people. If you're not using those, I'm not saying go crazy, but that's how a lot of people find you, is through hashtags. So VSG men, VSG transformations, VSG side by sides. All of those things are great tools for us to be able to find those side-by-side transformation pics, even if we're following you, because the way the algorithm works, you all know there may be times we don't see your stuff, but those hashtags we can always click on and go and find the most recent post or things like that. So we want to showcase everybody. We don't discriminate. We want to show a little bit of everybody along their journey, because there's somebody out there that needs to see you in order to be inspired.
I hope if you're listening, if you know a gentleman who has gone through a weight loss surgery procedure, please connect with Terry and Ked and My Bro Ain't Heavy page. We would love to amplify your story and your voice through their page. Do not be afraid.
Absolutely.
We are here to celebrate you.
Thank you, April. We appreciate that. And we, like I said, this is y'all see listening in. We're a community that supports each other, and I think that's huge, and that's important, and we'll continue to do that. We only win when we work together, so it's great to be in a community like this where we're helping each other and supporting each other. So thank you, April. Thank you, Jason, again, for what you all are doing.
Happy to be a part of it. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Terry, bro, we appreciate you being here, man. Your wisdom, your knowledge, your humor, your everything about what you do for the community is just amazing. And we couldn't think of a better way to spend the 99th episode, so we appreciate you as always. And we appreciate everybody for the likes, the shares, the subscribes, following us, and word of mouth spreading about the community. Also, just about our page and the podcast in general. Don't forget, you can always leave us ratings and reviews on your favorite podcast player. On our Anchor, the Anchor app, you can actually leave us voice messages that we can incorporate in future episodes of the podcast, which if you saw our recent post about that, we're doing that for our 100th episode. So please get it in. Actually, by now, or by that time, this will already be, we'll already be at our 100th episode. No? Okay. Well, yeah, get it in when you can, because then when we record the 100th episode, you'll be able to tell us all the things that you find amazing about the 100th, or about what we've done so far. And remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we will see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, Terry.